universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. A good friend of mine, Bob, who is blind, said that his storm door needs replacing. It's no longer fitting like it should. There's a gap, actually, at the bottom. I'm not sure if the house moved or maybe the wind took the door and twisted it, but it reminds me that if you live in a house, actually it's true if you live in an apartment too, you need to do repairs. Nothing lasts forever. And because of that, some people just don't like to own their own house because they can't afford it or they can't do it, as is Bob. He's not any longer able to do maintenance repair because he also is deaf, and the which is taking his hearing is also taking his feeling. He hardly has any feeling in his hands, and so he's really struggling with things. So I go and I help him, and I try to let him do as much as he can, but a lot of times I'm doing the repairs. You know, it made me stop and pause to think, because I was doing some repairs around my house. It's just got to be done. And I've done them all my life. My dad did them. My brother did them. So it's kind of in my genes, you might say, or the DNA. I've always had a hammer and a saw in my hands. It comes rather natural. Well, you know what else is rather natural? Is that reverse idea that things will fall apart. Things will crumble. Things, no matter what and how good a house is, when the weather beats against it, it's going to crumble. The same thought came to me. That's kind of how it is spiritually. And maybe that's why Paul wrote, and I'll explain in a second, near the end of his letter to the 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 15, verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain." When you do house repairs, you know it's never in vain. And standing firm, being unmoved, is being consistent with what you are and what you're doing. And if that's house repairs, well, then you just got to keep up with it. Otherwise, it'll fall down around you. Now, hang on for a second, because I'm going to shift, but I'll bring it back to this point in just a second. Did you know that over half of Christians today in our world live in hostile environments? More Chinese people take part in worship than what's in Western Europe in worship on Sunday. Lebanon has only 40% Christians. That means 60% are not. The Sudan, that's a Muslim country, has only 5% Christians. Egypt, they have about 10% Christians. Many saints worship at their own risk, whether it be in corporate worship or even in private worship. You could be a Christian in an Iraqi university, an Arab in the Middle East, in a strongly Muslim, or how about a Messianic Jew, that's a Jew who became a Christian, living in Israel, in Jerusalem. All of these people have a very difficult time living their faith. Certainly, Paul wrote to them, "Stand firm and let nothing move you." There's a lot that buffets them in their world, having them wanting to give up the faith, whether it be a professor browbeating them, a co-worker, a family member. Oh, gosh. You know, Christians around the world live under great persecution. And so Paul was saying, stand firm. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. But you know, it's not just there. It's here too. We may live in a society of freedom, and yet, it might be a community of spiritual oppression. And that oppression can come from a family member who mocks your belief. And I know there are some people on the list who've shared emails with me. That is very true. Again, here we have university professors who laugh and scoff at Christians and their beliefs. Co-workers or quote-unquote friends or next-door neighbors, they are often quick to belittle Christians. Well, if that's where you find yourself, as Paul said, stand up for Jesus. Don't be moved. Paul wrote many of his words from a prison cell. He understands what oppression was like, and yet he writes, stand firm. And you know, that's kind of what's behind that very familiar hymn. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift up his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his armies he shall lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Lord indeed, not just of our world, not just of your community, but also of your life. Sometimes those battles are inwardly. And so Paul is saying, stand firm against that which wants to pull you away. Sometimes he's saying, stand firm against the mockery that can happen from persecution. But he also says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What's our labor in the Lord? First and foremost is to believe and trust in Jesus, both as our Savior, as our friend, as our God, who will bless us now as well as forever. Secondly, our labor is to live as he's asked us to. Not a ashamed of who we are as Christians. 30 says our labor is to witness, to share. That doesn't mean you got to be toting a Bible around, especially a Braille Bible. That's huge. But it's to be able to speak, yeah, my God loves me. Oh, that's silly, God. No, I find him a comfort. Sometimes it's just making those statements. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Help us to stand firm and not be moved. There's so many things in this world, just like the storms of life that can twist a storm door or a hail that can ruin a roof. There are many storms in our life that beat against us, wanting to move us, wanting to give up. But Lord, help us to stand firm, first in trusting you, but also in living for you, as well as then sharing with you. May our life in all our circumstances reflect you. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.Andrus at not-alone.net.